Hey, have you ever come to the realization that you just can't be best friends with everybody? Yeah. Somewhere along the way, you're going to figure this out if you haven't already. You just can't be everybody's best friend. You know, I think this happens when we begin to get to know our neighbors as well. The reality is that you and I don't have enough time, and we don't have enough resources to invest in every one of our neighbors equally. So how should you decide to spend your time? Who should you decide to spend your time with? You've got choices. Should you keep pursuing the people that when you pursue them, they seem maybe disinterested in what you are about? If there are more neighboring opportunities than you have capacity to invest, is it possible that Jesus would offer us wisdom for how to focus the energies and the resources that we actually have and make investments in specific people? I think he does. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I want to look at today the art of focusing. This is week 8 in our series, The Art of Neighboring, and we're getting ready to wrap the series up next week, and then we're going to be going into some new stuff, which is about to come out very shortly. But I'm excited about the fall, but I'm excited about what God has been doing through the series. He's really been speaking to me personally about a lot of things, but today I want to look at the art of focusing when it comes to our neighboring efforts. And the truth is that when we intentionally practice the art of neighboring, we just won't connect on a deep level with some people. And maybe for you, that is disheartening because you want to connect with everybody and you want to be everybody's best friend. You want everybody to like you. And there are a lot of reasons for why we feel the way we do. But one of the biggest things that we have to understand is that we're not meant to connect with everybody. We're not meant to be everybody's best friends. Actually, we don't have the capacity to have deep friendships with everyone. And I know this was a hard thing that I think I had to figure out, you know, years ago, is that I don't have the ability to be everybody's best friend. And I'm an extrovert by nature, and I like to be with people, and actually being around people really charges me up and charges my batteries. But I can't be with everybody to make that happen. And if you haven't figured it out already, you will. Not everyone has time for you. It's true. Not everyone has time for you. I mean, I know we think about the opposite end of it, but what about their side? People have other priorities. People have other relationships that they're called to invest in, and it might not include you. And that's kind of the harsh reality of life right there. To neighbor well, I think that we must learn how to narrow our focus. We have to narrow our focus. And being focused in anything is a good thing. And if done well, I think it will allow us to have an impact on where we live when we're focused. I want to look at some scripture here. Speaking of focusing, we're going to look at Luke chapter 10. If you've got a Bible, this would be a great time. I'm only going to have the reference up here today because it's a little bit of some reading here. And so if you don't have a Bible, I'd encourage you to get one on your phone. You can download the app YouVersion, which just gives you access to many, many different translations. We typically like to use the ESV here for teaching. So we do have some of those Bibles over on the wall over there if you'd like to grab one. And this is Luke chapter 10, verse 1 through 12. And I'll start reading here. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves." How's that for encouragement? Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, "Peace be to this house." And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you and remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide. For the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into the streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. It's interesting when you begin to unpack the strategies of Jesus. Jesus had some strategies when it came to focusing his relational efforts and resources on specific people. And he was intentional about who he spent his time with. And here in this passage, we begin to see an example of what that looks like. We look at Jesus' strategy and we see that Jesus focused on a small group of people so he can invest in their lives in a big way. Small group, big investment. And so from the multitudes, what we see in this chapter in Luke is that Jesus had gathered a crowd. And this crowd at the time, crowd for them, their understanding, was 72 people. 72 people gathered together. And he commissioned these 72 with a specific task, and he told them to go into the towns that he was going to visit ahead of time, and he sent them out two by two in pairs. So there was 36 teams of two people that went out and began to scope out the land, if you will. And of those 72 people, Jesus had even a smaller group of people, a core team, or a core group of people, made up of 12 individuals. We know these to be the famous 12 disciples. This is the group that Jesus invested the majority of his time with. This is the group that he spent the most of his time with, and his relational resources were given. And then from among the 12, it mentions that he had, in fact, even a smaller group of people, a group of three that he was even more intentional with than he was with the 12. And that was Peter, James, and John. In fact, there's a story after the famous Last Supper of Jesus, where he's going to go out to pray after he's been given up and kind of rejected by one of his disciples who had been all along in the background kind of just, you know, plotting to sell him and, you know, give him over to the Romans and just the betrayal level of that. And so there's this moment where Jesus goes out to the Garden of Gethsemane and he says to Peter, James, and John, guys, I want everybody to stay behind, but I want you three to accompany me. I want you to come with me. And they went with him and they accompanied him to the garden. So he clearly has this deeper connection with these three men than he did with the other nine. Jesus had a strategy when it came to who he invested in and how he led. And how he was in community. So here's the question. How do we discern the people with whom we should spend the majority of our time with? If Jesus gives us this picture, and it's wise, and it's full of wisdom in terms of how things played out and how he could focus his energies in a specific way that mattered, how does that speak to you and I? And I want to offer us 3 points today to consider as we attempt to answer this question. They are these. Find a person of peace, invest wisely, and be discerning. Okay? So we're going to jump right in. The first one, find a person of peace. Several years ago, I heard someone say that as a church planter, and that really, if you're not familiar with the term church planting, it's really the idea of starting a new church. It's kind of when we look in the New Testament, we see that that's what Paul did. And Paul wrote most of the New Testament, but he went around all of Asia Minor and that area of the world, and he started new churches. And it actually wasn't that he started new churches, but new churches started because disciples were being made. Jesus never said, go therefore and start new churches. He said, go therefore and make disciples. And as disciples are formed and as they're made, churches come together. It's kind of a beautiful thing. But I remember hearing somebody at one of our church planting boot camps say, you know, when you go out and wherever you're going to be sent to, you need to go into that town. And what you need to do is you need to find a person of peace. And I'm thinking to myself, what the heck are they talking about? You know, do I need to go like find a hippie or something? A person, what is a person of peace? I don't really understand what you're talking about. So This person of peace, this idea, it was foreign. It was kind of a foreign concept to me. But then you got into Luke chapter 10, where we just were, and this is where we begin to see this idea of a person of peace make his appearance. And what we see in this passage in Luke is that Jesus sent out the 72 into different towns, and he gave them very specific instructions to teach and to pray and to serve. And Jesus didn't just send them out and say, go make a difference in everyone's lives. That's not what he did. He gave them very specific instructions to look for something in the people that they met. To look for something in the people that they came across. And this certain person was referred to as a person of peace. Let's look at it again. Luke chapter 10, verse 5 and 6. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. A person of peace is someone who is hospitable and open to becoming a friend. Hospitable and open to becoming a friend. Once the disciples found a person like this group of, you know, two people that would go into the towns, and they would look for this person, they were instructed by Jesus to stay with that person in community and living with them in their house. Now, how would you feel if you had two people show up to your house one day in our modern era, knock on your door and say, hey, are you a friend? Are you hospitable? Can we stay with you for, like, ever? I don't think we would take that so well, but I don't think that's the point. I think that this has a context and has a cultural specific place that we understand these things by, and in that time, there was just a different way of doing life. But this has a lot to say to us right now. The people that the disciples found, they're super hospitable, they're super welcoming, and so if you can't identify who that is right now in your context, that person in your life or in your neighborhood, this is what I would say. I would encourage you to begin to pray that God would direct you to such a person. And we're going to talk about why in a second. But because it could have a direct impact on the bigger picture, which is seeing our city and to see our neighborhoods changed in the way that Jesus wants to see them be changed. Number two, invest wisely. Invest wisely. Do you ever feel like you're more of the one maybe reaching out in a relationship? Do you ever feel like you're the one that's giving maybe a little bit more? You're the one that's kind of calling or texting or inviting someone else, and you realize, like, one day, wow, like, they don't really even really reciprocate here, you know? That can be a definite thing in relationships, and perhaps you're the one that's doing the inviting that person over and over. Sometimes relationships can feel one-sided, and I believe we talked about that a little bit in this series. Make sure to go back online, and if you need to, get caught up with all that we've gone through here with this neighboring series. But the reality is that sometimes the relationships that we pour into or we invest into don't yield the results that we're looking for, which is having a deeper connection with someone else. I think even if you don't know today that you need connection and you need deep relationships, you need to hear me just say that. You were wired for that. I spoke at a youth conference last night, and I actually got up in front of these, you know, maybe 85 teenagers, and I said, you know, you might not even realize this, but you and I have been wired for community. And that doesn't mean that you have to be a certain personality type. It just means that God, if he is who he is, and we believe as Christians in a Trinitarian God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and that certainly would take so much more time than I have now to unpack and explain. But the Orthodox Christian belief is that we serve and worship a triune God. And if God is who he is and he lives in perfect community with himself, that means if we bear the image of Christ, if we have the imago Dei, if it were, in us, it's an imprint in us, that means that we are literally wired to be in perfect community, like Jesus, like God. So understand that you're made for community. I remember when we first moved to Keene, there was this couple that we did try to pursue, and, you know, we were kind of in a similar stage in life, and so, you know, we lived in the same area, in the same complex, and we appeared to like some of the same things, but that whole thing of reciprocation, of relationship, it just wasn't happening. You know, and I'm kind of bummed. I'm like, well, is it me? Is it like, is it us? Is it a problem with us? And then at some point you have to realize like, not everybody's meant to connect with each other, and that's fine. But we really wanted to connect with this couple, and we really wanted to get to know them. But then we have to decide when we realize, well, we're kind of the only ones that are kind of reaching out and trying to kind of form relationships. We have to kind of then realize that maybe we need to have a conversation, just Danielle and I, about like, do we continue to invest in this relationship if it's not really yielding the fruit that we are hoping for? And you have to do the same thing. I mean, if there's people in your life right now that you feel like you're just investing in, and it's not yielding the fruit that we're looking for, then you need to kind of decide, you know, is that a relationship that's worth continuing to pursue? And you have to weigh all that out. But we just realized that, like, a good use of our resources and energy, would it be best spent pursuing and continuing to pursue? Or do we just kind of say, you know what, it is what it is, and we just kind of need to keep looking for that person of peace, or that family of peace, if you will. One of the best pieces of advice I ever got for the whole church planning thing was, when it comes to making disciples, pursue those who want to be discipled. Pursue those who want to be discipled. For a long time, I actually would try to force myself into people's lives. Like, I would actually try to force my way in, because I had such a passion to see people come to know Jesus, and to help those people also, not just them, but they would help me come closer to Jesus in a relationship. And I just realized that, you know, I spent a lot of time trying to knock on doors and knock on walls and sometimes not get very far. And I just realized, you know what? It shouldn't be this difficult. I should be able to just have God be who he is and allow God to bring the people into my life that are looking for that type of level of relationship and are looking for that type of feedback and that type of discipleship. So I'd encourage you to do the same thing. Realize you can't do that with everybody. You have to have a few. Essentially, don't force your way into someone's life, but respond to those who are already responding to you. That's the key right there. Respond to those who are responding to you. Luke chapter 10, it also says this in verse 10. Notice that what Jesus tells the 72 to do if they are not being welcomed in Luke 10. But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Now, that sounds a little harsh. I would say maybe in our context, it would just be the realization that you're not being welcomed into that type of relationship, and you kind of need to just move on. It's been long rumored that the great evangelist and teacher D.L. Moody, who is actually buried right here in Northfield, just over the line, and the D.L. Moody campus is down that way, said this of the city of Keene a number of years ago. Quite a number of years ago now. He's been long gone. But he preached in this area. He came to this town, and after being met with some resistance as he preached in this area years ago, the rumor was that he said, I shake the dust off of my feet of this place. So, you know, that kind of makes me feel like, well, D.L. Moody, you know, okay, so how's that going to shake out, you know, like for us? You know, I have yet to find the historic record about that, by the way, so if anybody has that, like, record somewhere in the archives, please let me know, because I've only heard it as a rumor, but I've heard it from a lot of people. D.L. Moody shakes the dust off his feet of King. Okay, let's move on. It's important for us to invest our relational time and energies wisely. If we don't, much of what we'll do will be in vain. And the efforts and the energies that we put into things, if we don't realize early on, are not being reciprocated or welcomed in, they're going to be things that we're going to do in vain. And we have very little time. We have very little time in this world to make a difference. You know, I know when I think maybe when we first started planting, I was a little bit more like fired up about like, okay, like I actually believe I said at one point, like I am not gonna be everybody's best friend, you know, and I just made that clear from the get-go, because Danielle and I, we felt like God called us out of the things that at times our call to move back to New Hampshire for us wasn't like this thing that we were like, yippee, hooray, there's no regrets and there's no like turning back and all that. It really wasn't like that for us. God called us out of what we thought was going to be, in our own minds, what we wanted to do was to stay grounded and rooted in Philadelphia. We wanted that to be our lives. We bought a house there. We were talking about having children and all that. And we're talking about like settling down and getting rooted into a community. But Jesus had other plans, and that was okay. But we oftentimes, what that had a result on our lives was that when we came up here to start this, yes, we knew we were going to get into relationships with people, and we were going to do life with people, and we have a value for that. But we also realized we're here, and we're on a mission. And it's not to just hang out. And it's not to just, you know, kind of do life. It doesn't stop there for us. Our mission to be here in Keene and in New England is because we have a heart to see the gospel go forward into our region. And for people to come to know Jesus for the first time. That's why we're here. And so when I say that, or when I did say that kind of thing early on, you know, Danielle was like, you might want to tone that down a little bit because it's like, it sounds like maybe you don't want to be friends with people. And I said, no, that's not it. It's just, I want to do life with people that want to do life and do things together in a way that actually upholds why God called us to come here in the first place. And so we have to understand that we need to invest our relational time energies wisely. If we don't, much of what we're going to do is going to be in vain. The best way forward, then, I think, is to invest your relational time with people who are open and responsive and to be secure enough to move on when they're not. The third thing, and the last thing, is that we need to be discerning. Discernment is a very interesting word. I'll talk about it here in a second. There's this component to the idea that takes our listening to Jesus. It takes our ability to have Jesus make certain things clear as when we go and pursue people and continue to pursue people. And oftentimes, what we think should be the case with one neighbor might not be, and we have to learn to be at peace with that. Just like we have to learn to find a person of peace, we need to be at peace when it's not going to happen. And so I remember having to come to terms with this, with the fact that we have neighbors who just don't reciprocate, and some that do. And so it's kind of like, wow, there's a response. Maybe I'm going to move towards them. And so investing in the relationships that are working and progressing from stranger to acquaintance and from acquaintance to relationship is what we're trying to do. So when it comes to being discerning in this process, it might be helpful to ask this question. What are the two or three households or the people in my neighborhood or in my workplace that I really connect with and that they really connect with me? Who are the people in my sphere of life that are connecting with me and I'm connecting with them? And by really connect, I don't mean a relationship is always easy either, by the way. It just means that they are open to connecting with you just as much as you are open to connecting with them. Identify these people and then invest in their lives. Wise relational investments doesn't mean going an inch deep with a lot of people. And my fear, my concern is in the day and age that we live, that we think that we have a lot of deep relationships, and really what we have is a lot of relationships that are an inch deep. We have a lot of, even by way of social media and the ability to connect with everybody around us, you know, we fool ourselves into thinking that we actually have a small posse of people that we can say, yes, they are invested in my life, I'm invested in their life, and it's more than an inch deep. I would encourage us to really think about this, that we want to go deeper than just acquaintance with people. We want to get to a place where we have a relationship, and it matters for you, and it matters for the kingdom. So just to kind of sum up kind of what we're looking to do here, you know, we've got some things that we want to achieve by focusing in. This is how we focus. We look for a person of peace. We look for the people or the peoples in our lives that are going to be there to invest equally with us. Okay, that's the first step. The next thing is to invest wisely. You have to invest your time and energy and resources because it's limited. You have to figure out how you're going to do that wisely and in a way that matters. Look at your life and look to figure out, does this matter? Does this help me get to a certain goal? And then the last step is to be discerning. to actually invite Jesus into the process of trying to figure out what he wants to do. I would suggest that if you picked up the book, and I believe there is like one copy left here, and kind of fitting as we wind down our time, even for next week, grab that. Don't jump over chairs with each other after this is over. But there is one more book out there, The Art of Neighboring, which has just been so helpful, I think, for our community. I would encourage you to pick that up. And I want you to look at page 154 and maybe even write a note down. But this is kind of what they say. To sum up the art of focusing, I would just suggest what the book does. And it says on page 154, be friendly with everyone and be close to a few. I think it's really wise, good wisdom. Be friendly with everybody and be close to a few. That's what's gonna, Jesus, I think he absolutely points to that strategy. Trust that God is at work. And I love this. I love that even after Jesus explains to the 72 people, which are more people than he had the time and energy to invest in equally, he said to the 72 that there will be relationships that don't work in the towns that they land in, and people that will not end up being the person of peace. They will not end up reciprocating to you like you'd like them to. But you can still have the assurance that Jesus is in control. And he says this by wrapping up in Luke chapter 10, verse 11. He says, nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near.